close to last week, sir, but a little different. This morning I want us to listen to wisdom. Listen to some wisdom. Not just any ordinary wisdom, but listen to wisdom that a father was giving his sons. He tried to give his sons some honest-to-goodness wisdom. Now, listen, parents, let me ask you a question. Have you tried to give your children wisdom before? You tried to set them down. You tried to say, listen, I want to talk to you about something. I want to tell you about something. Because I want to be honest with you. I thought about this as I prepared my sermon. I thought about this in times past. I honestly do not recall a time in my life when my dad was alive that he ever pulled me aside and said, son, I want to let's sit down with me and you talk because I want to give you some wisdom. I don't remember that. I guess that he was just wanting me to watch his life. I don't remember my dad trying to give me any wisdom. Parents, you need to do that. You need to give your children wisdom. Listen, Lord knows they need it. They need it. So this morning we're going to see a very passionate father at this time trying to give wisdom to his sons. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 4 and we're going to start reading verse 10. Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to start reading verse 10. Solomon writes, listen, my son, accept my words, and you will live many years. I'm teaching you the way of wisdom. I am guiding you on straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to the instruction and don't let go. Guard it, for it is your life. Don't set foot on the path of the wicked. Don't proceed in the way of the evil one. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn away from it and pass it by. For they can't sleep unless they have done what is evil. They are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until midday. But the way of the wicked is like the darkest gloom. They don't know what makes them stumble. They don't know. As we look at the scripture, before we pray, I hope it was evident to you that there are two paths here. The right path and the wrong path. The good path and the bad path. And it's unbelievable to me that we have a copy of God's Word. All of us have a copy of God's Word. And none of us, under the sound of my voice, who call themselves Christians, we should not stumble. Because God has given us a clear directive and a clear path. We should have the easiest lives in all the world. But there's a reason why we don't. Now pay attention. If you want to make your life easier, you need to pay attention to this message. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. This message applies to all of us. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you be with us right now. God, you settle our hearts. Lord, you'd still our hearts. There wouldn't be any moving around. God, you would just still us in these next few minutes as we open your word and rightly divide your word. Help us to see ourselves as you see us this morning. Help anyone who has a self-righteous heart, a self-righteous spirit, let that spirit exit this building for a fleeting moment, Lord, that we might see ourselves as you see us. God, I pray that you would be with us in this time. Because we do need you. In Jesus' name, let me pray. All God's children said,
amen.
Amen. Church, who is it, church, that spoke the words that we just read? Who has the right to tell me to do anything? Isn't that how we think? Isn't that, as we look at the generation that's growing up around us, isn't that the way they look and the way they act when somebody tries to tell them something? Who are you to tell me the right way and the wrong way? Now pay attention. Everybody look up here. Who are you to tell me anything? Well, who is Solomon? Who is this man to tell us anything? Well, who is this person? Well, let's Solomon real quick. As you know, Solomon was the wisest man known in all of Scripture apart from Christ himself. Solomon was granted this wisdom by God because of the relationship God had with his father David, and because Solomon was given the opportunity to ask God for anything, and he wisely chose as God to ask God for this wisdom. Now, get this picture now. His father David lived, was David perfect? Oh, gosh, he did some bad things. But he repented. He got his life right back to God. He was a man after God's own heart. He really was. It doesn't look like a lot of times in life today when you look through Kings and Chronicles, but he was a man after God's own heart. And because of the relationship that he had with God, when Solomon came to reign, God communed with him and says, look, you know, I love your father David. Ask me something and I'll give it to you. Now, he could have asked for anything. Now, most materialistic people, you know what they would ask for? I want more years of my life. Well, I want all the money in the world. I want riches. I want wealth. I want this. But he didn't. Now, Solomon, as we looked through Scripture, he had three phases of life. He had a phase of life where he was doing things right. You see that in the book of Proverbs. And then you get to the book of Ecclesiastes, and boy, he's just blowing. He's known that he's done it wrong. But if you look at Song of Solomon, he's a young man, ready to go. Listen, where are you in your stage of life? Have you already blown? Because as we look at his life, we have to look at our own lives and understand that we have the potential of being anything and everything that Solomon wants. Now, he was asked, son, what do you want? He asked for wisdom. Now, I can give my children a lot of things. I can give them some wisdom. I can't give them money. I can't give them new cars. I can't give them all that. I can give them wisdom. He sought something that was very precious, and God honored him for that. Now, it wasn't his father's wisdom. It wasn't my wisdom. It wasn't the worldly wisdom. It wasn't the cultural wisdom. Understand that what Solomon is giving us this morning, what he is giving his sons, is godly wisdom. Wisdom from the heart of God. So, is it good for us to accept it? Well, yeah. Listen, we need to understand here from the very beginning of this sermon that the words that we are reading and the ideas that we're going to try to comprehend are from a very reliable source. They are from a viable source. A source that we can count on and know that we can not only count on them, but we can trust these words. But we can and should apply these words to our lives to make our lives better. My question to you right now at the very beginning of this sermon is, do you want to have a better life? Because that's what he's offering his sons. Guys, listen to me. Listen to me. Do you want to have a better life, sons? Or do you want to have a bitter life? Because those are the two contrasts that we're looking at this morning. Either you're going to have a better life or you're going to have a bitter life. Now, I don't know about you. As I sit down, Brother Frank, and contemplate this decision that's set before me or this question that's set before me, I don't have to say, well, can I pray about it? I don't. Ricky, do you want a better life or a bitter life? Now, ask yourself that question. Savannah, do you want a better life or do you want a bitter life? I think everybody in here would say, well, I want a better life. I don't think there's a nincompoop in here who would say, no, I've had a better life. I want some better life. I want things to be bad. I want to go down the wrong path. I want to do everything wrong. I want it to be just rotten and horrible all my life. Well, you can choose that, and you have every right to make the wrong decision. But what I'm laying before you this morning is the opportunity for right now to put everything past in the past. Amen? God allows you to do that every day. Put the past in the past, and from this day forward, I'm going to live a better life. God's given you that opportunity. But you have to take it. Now, what does Solomon say? Solomon's wise words to his son. What is he saying here? Excuse me. Those of you who have a pen, I want you to get that pen. If you don't have to lick it, hopefully it's ready to go.
And I want you to underline the very first word that I spoke in verse 10. What is that word? Listen or hear. Listen. Listen. This one word is seen at the very beginning of verse 10. Listen. Listen, listen. Listen to who? Listen to those God has set before you. They have been where you are now. God has set people in your presence, in your life. And whether you want to believe it or not, they have been where you are. I'm 48 years old. That means that I've been 13 years old before. That means I've been 16 years old before. That means I have been 30 years old before. And it means that I've been 47 years old before. I have been where you are. Now listen, I also need to step back and understand. I need to listen to wisdom that's set before me as well. There's people who are here that are older than I am, and they have some words of wisdom that can help my life and make it better, not bitter. Right? Now, these people have your best interest at heart. They do not want you to go through the struggles that they went through. Hey, youth and children, all you have to do is this. Listen. 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 God gave you two ears and one mouth to keep your mouth closed and your ears open.
Amen.
Twice as much. Just listen. Listen. And listen. And your life will be better and easier. Do you know why Solomon starts this paragraph off with the word listen? Because most children do not listen. Let me say that again. All youth, everybody, all children and youth, look up here at the pastor. I'm looking at all the children and youth. Look here, look at it. Most children do not listen. They do not. I can say that because when I was a child, I probably didn't listen much either, but I could have. And they end up making huge mistakes. And they would not have if only they would have listened. Who is it that God has placed in your path, in my path, that we need to listen to? Well, our moms, our dads, our grandparents, our aunts, our uncles. Hey, listen, your preacher. Sometimes I feel like I am one of the least people that anybody ever listens to in all the world. I really am. I'll preach a message on a certain topic, and 2 days later, somebody says, Brother Kyle, what do you think about so-and-so, so-and-so? And I'm like, were you not here Sunday? Well, yeah, I was sitting here Sunday. Do you remember when I said, wake up! Wake up! But I was talking to you! We don't listen to the people who God puts in front of us. Listen, we all want to succeed. Anybody in here doesn't want to succeed? You, children? I mean, I just want to fail. I want to be a loser. I want to live in the ditch. I want to walk the streets. No, we don't have those aspirations. We want to succeed. Well, how can you succeed? Listen. Listen. You can absolutely listen. Solomon says, listen. I understand this as well. If you don't listen, you're going to fail. You are setting yourself up to fail if you do not listen to the wise instruction that God has set before you. You're going to fail. Anybody want to fail? No, you don't. But as you listen, there is something else Solomon tells his sons that they need to do. What is it? He says this. He says, accept my words. So Brother Frankie said, listen. And now he's saying, accept my words. Listen and then accept. What Solomon is saying here is listen and apply what I am saying. Most of what we as parents say to our children goes in one ear and out the other. It really does. Our children think we know nothing. That we just magically got to where we are in life, And it's just not fair that they can't be touched by a magic wand and have the same things we have. No, no, no. Listen, children and youth. I'm going to tell you something very important right now. Listen to me. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? You ready? Savannah, you ready? Listen, you ready? Life is not fair!
Amen. Amen.
It's not. Life is not fair. Life is not easy. I don't care whether you have a doctorate degree from MIT or you're a high school dropout. Life is not easy. It's not. Life will chew you up and spit you out. Life does not care what color you are, where you come from. Life does not care who your parents, your grandparents, or your great-grandparents were. You and only you are going to have, you and only you are going to not only have to listen, but to the advice those who care about you give. You're going to have to accept that wisdom and apply that wisdom to your life, or your life's not going to be easy. You mean to tell me that God has placed these people around me and they know more than me? Yeah. And God has placed them there not to harm me or to make life miserable for me, but to help me? Yeah. Because they've been where you are. They know more than you. You know, Scripture tells us, one of the simplest aspects of Scripture tells us, honor your mother and your father. This is the will of God. You know, Butch doesn't talk about a time constraint there. Honor your father and your mother as long as you're a child, because this is the will of God. No, he doesn't say that. Do you know all the days of your life you're to honor your father and your mother? I didn't say of their life, I said of your life. This held true in Jewish tradition, and I'm very strong in Jewish tradition. Jews held on to their name. And to shame their name or to shame their family name was a bad thing. They would cast you off. They would consider you dead. You're dead to me. Get out of my life. You're dead to me because you shamed my life, my family. We're to honor our parents. We're to listen to what they have to say. And listen, anybody ever here got any bad wisdom from the parents? Oh, yeah. I have. That's the stuff that you let go in one ear and out the other. But what he's saying here about honoring your mom and your dad is you're never doing anything that brings shame to your family name. Never. Never. But he says something else. Solomon then goes into detail of the benefits of listening. You mean there are benefits to me listening? Yeah. You know, there's benefits to you showing up to work on time. Do you know what happens? Maybe you better start your job. If you show up every day on time, they will give you a paycheck for every week. If you show up when you want to, they're going to fire you. You ain't going to get any money, girl. I'm telling you. Now, that's wisdom from the pastor to you. You can take it or leave it. You think, Brother Kyle, that's the silliest example I've ever had. Yeah, but listen, there are some of you, I promise you, you're going to wake up late 2 or 3 times this week and show up to work. Matter of fact, if you showed up to church the way you show up to work, listen, you'd be fired. Well, that hurt, didn't it? What is he saying here? What do we need to say? Here are the benefits of listening and applying given wisdom to your life. Number one, he says this. Accept my words and live many years. Y'all paying attention? Accept my words, listen to what I'm saying, and accept my words and live. How many of y'all, you know, I kind of like this. Right? Think here for a second. What is this scripture saying without saying it? I love it, Ms. Desi. You know I love that. What is this scripture saying without saying it? He's saying, accept my words and live many years. You have a choice to make here. Or don't. And die. Do you see that there? Accept my words, listen to my wisdom, and you will live many years. He's talking about wisdom from God. If you listen to my words, you'll live many years. But you don't have to. You don't have to listen. You can die. Brother Kyle, do you mean a physical death? Well, in some cases, yeah. When you don't listen to wisdom, you make stupid choices and you make bad decisions and you die. Right? You know there's a tremendous opioid epidemic with our youth and our 20s, 30-year-olds in America today? Who in their right mind would think that we would have to tell our children, listen, you don't need to pop pills that you can't prescribe because they can become addicted and you can die. You can die. Right? Who would think that we would need to tell people this? Why in the world? Listen, I'm going to be funny here for a second, but I want you to understand the logic here this morning. Who in their right minds would think that on a bottle of Preparation H it says, do not ingest orally? That's where we are. There's no logic. That's why we need to listen. We need to pay attention, and we need to accept the wisdom that we're given and obtain it. And listen, use it as directive for our lives, because people are that simple. He says, accept my words and live, or don't, and die. Is it always a physical death, Brother Kyle? Listen, no. I can take you right now in a place in Savannah, Georgia. I can show you 20, 21, 22-year-olds, 25-year-olds. They're breathing. They have a heartbeat, but they're a shell. They're dead. Inside, they're dead. And it's all because they would not listen to wisdom that was given to them, and they made terrible choices in their life. Listen, Chatham County Jail is full of people who would not listen to wisdom. I'm going to do it my way. Nobody will tell me what to do. That's fine. Go to jail. It's your choice. Every single person, I promise you, who is in Chatham County Jail or any jail right now, can tell you I made a bad choice. Somebody tried to give me wisdom, and I wouldn't listen to it. I wouldn't listen to it. And they're dead. They're a shell. They'll never live again. They're alive. Their heart's beating. They're breathing. But they're dead. They're dead. Verse 11 tells us another thing. He says this, I am teaching you the way of wisdom. I am guiding you on a straight path. A straight path. Do you know what this means? There's more than one path. And if you will listen and apply, you will be on the right path and not on the wrong path. There are more than one paths in life. God makes it easy. But most people don't stay on that path. They don't even want to see the path. But listen, don't tell me what to do. You're not talking to me, you're talking to God. There are two paths. Which path are you going to choose? Solomon's asking his boys this question. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12 again. He says this. He says, if you'll listen and apply this wisdom to your heart, he says this, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. I know a lot of y'all don't run. It just means absolutely nothing to you. But there's something about running. I love to run. I try to run 2 miles a day. If I try to run more than 2 miles a day, I can feel it the next day. But I'm comfortable with 2 miles a day in my neighborhood. But here's what aggravates me. When I'm getting ready, I put on my shoes. I put on my jogging shorts and a dry fit shirt. And I put on my radio. And it never fails. When I put the radio on and I'm trying to find a station, it's a radio, digital radio. I'll find some, okay, I can jog with this, I can run this. And I'll take 5 steps out of my driveway, and then it'll be feeling. Oh, this world of feelings. And I'm like, I can't run that. I mean, I know, but what do? I stop, and I can't see, so I sit there and I push the button, because I'll try to find something. Now, I mean, listen, I'm not listening to strict love music or anything like that, all right? But I want something a little upbeat. So
Ricky, I can listen to that. So I start my path again. And as I start my path again, a little something will come on, you know, like, you know, you are my sunshine. But no. See, certain things, I don't like to stop once I start. Years ago, when we lived off Bush Road down there in Ron's old house, I would get up, you know, about a quarter of a mile down the road, and there was a pit bull on the other side of the fence. Becky says pit bulls are nice. They won't ever mess with you. But this pit bull always wanted to jump the fence and attack Brother Kyle. And he did on two occasions. This third time, I told the woman, if he does it again, I will kill your dog. I was honest with her. Luckily, it never happened. Well, what are you saying? When I was running, minding my own business, I don't like to break pace, because when I do, I mean, it just messes up my breathing and everything. So as I'm running, this dog attacks me, and it messes everything up. Everything up. Brother Kyle, what are you saying? Listen to what he's saying again here. He says in verse 12, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. You're just going to keep walking. You're just going to keep walking. Everything's going to, you know, fall into place. You're just going to keep walking. Your steps aren't going to be hindered. You're not going to step on any holes, any potholes. If you'll listen to wisdom and apply the instruction of my life, your walk will not be hindered. But he says this as well. He says, when you run, when you get past walking, you know when you walk, you know what it is when you walk? My little granddaughter's getting ready to take her first steps. She's already trying. Now, Miss Janelle, she's not going to go from, you know, pulling up to go on jogging with a cop. She's not. She's going to start walking. And it's going to be, you know, stumbling at first. But then she's going to start walking good. But after a certain period of time, she's not going to just walk this stuff. Y'all know how kids are here at church. I have to get on them all the time. You know what they do from point A to point B? I think it's from the water fountain to the bathroom right across the street. I mean, right across the hall. They run. They absolutely run. They run. That's what God wants you to do. He's saying, listen, from your walking stage to your running stage, I don't want anything impeding you, but the one thing that's going to impede you is you. You. All you have to do is listen to the wisdom that I've said before. You apply it to your heart, and nothing will impede you. Does that mean everything's going to be perfect? No. No, but the pathfinder to God is going to be right there. Now, look at verse 13. Verse 13 tells us something that's very useful, but scary if it's not heeded. It's useful, but it's scary at the same time. He says, hold on to instruction. Don't let go. Guard it. Why? Why do I need to guard it? For it's your life. It's your life. Wisdom, instruction. Solomon says, it's your life. Guard it. Well, what does that mean? You keep it close to you. Gary and I were talking this past Wednesday night. We were talking about wallets. Somebody had lost a wallet or something. I don't understand it, Shaw. I really don't. I want to give the perfect illustration. There is a dollar in my wallet. It's a dollar. I have no money in my wallet. None. But something curious happened. This wallet, it has my ATM card. I don't have a credit card. Don't leave a credit card. No. In the morning when I get up, I know where my wallet is. You know why? Because I guard it. I want to know where it is. I know that when I wake up in the morning that my wallet is in the dresser right beside bed. Usually my gun right beside my wallet.
Amen.
That's funny, dude. When I go somewhere, I go to the drawer and I get my wallet out and I put my wallet in my back pocket. Right there, look here. Most of the time, because there's crooks in the matter, I'll button my pocket. Okay? Even though there's not a dollar in there. Because somebody will go to Talbot's, which I don't go to, and charge $900. True story, it's happened. When I get home, guess what I do? I take my keys and I set them on my dresser. And I take my wallet out and I set it in a drawer. The same drawer that was in the night before with the gun beside it.
Why do I do that? Because I'm guarding it. I want to keep it safe. I don't want any of y'all getting a hold of my credit card information or my debit card information. Because you can do some damage. I guard it. He's saying, listen, guard this instruction. Guard this wisdom that I have given you that you apply to me. Guard it. Because somebody will want to steal it. Listen, the world wants to steal it. The world wants to take you a place that you never thought you'd go, keep you longer than you ever thought you'd go, and cost you more than you ever thought you'd pay. You've got to guard that instruction. And listen, when times of temptation come your way, that instruction is going to come into your mind and say, oh, hold on a second now. My mama told me. My daddy told me. God told me. The Word of God tells me that I need to do this. I need to run. And that instruction is there because you guard it. Now, we need instruction, church. Can I tell you something? This is a book of instruction. It's 66 love letters from the Lord God Almighty to His children. That's you. 66 intimate love letters from God to you. And it's amazing how few spend time reading those love letters. Now, just about done. Can I tell you why we have so many millennials that are so messed up? Well, we do. Can I tell you why they're still being messed up millennials? Why they're still living at home with their parents? Do you know why there's so many people who are addicted to drugs of all kinds? Do you know why there is a heroin and opioid epidemic in America? Do you know why there are so many homeless people, people who can't keep a job, do not know why these people are covered up in debt, they don't know why they're covered in debt, who have multiple credit cards and have to live paycheck to paycheck, who are covered, absolutely covered in debt, who have not tithed in years because they have zero extra money? Hey, do you know why we have so many problems in America and why we have people trying to get in the southern border today right now while families are being torn apart? Listen, I can tell you, because people will not listen to instruction and apply instruction to their lives. All we need to do is what God has told us to do. God's Word tells us what to do, and our lives will be much easier. And yet the Word of God is usually the last resort when we find ourselves in deep trouble. Church, listen, youth and children, follow the Word of God now, and you will not find yourself in trouble that most of the world is in today. It's that easy. And look around you at those God has placed in your life to give you wise instruction. And listen to them. They don't mean you any harm, they mean you good. If you listen to them, there are tremendous benefits. If you will not listen to them, you are bound for a life of trouble. You are bound to fail in life. And the sad thing is, generally when these people fail, they look at you and they point their finger at you and blame you for their failure. It's your fault. You didn't do so and so. I tried to tell you. Listen. You need to listen now. Listen now. Church, each one of us has a choice to make today. And it's the very same choice we have to make every single day. Will we listen to and apply instructions to our lives? Or will we suffer the consequences of not following instruction? The choice is ours to make. And God, our Father, loves us so much that He made it so easy for us. If only, church, listen. If only we'll listen. If only we'll listen. Come on, you're asleep. You're not listening. If only you'll listen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you love us enough. That you've given us warning, you've given us words of wisdom, you've given us a way out. If we'll only seek you and your word.
Lord, be with us right now in our congregation. I pray that you would move during this time of invitation, that you would help us truly to see ourselves as you see us. Help us to listen, God. Help us to listen to those you set in front of us. Help us to listen to the Holy Spirit of God moving in our lives. Help us to listen to the Word of God that speaks truth to our hearts. Be with us now during this invitation. God's name, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray. With all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Will you stand? You need to come this morning. And spend time with the Lord. You need to come. The altar's open.